Our scripture reading this morning is from Haggai chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. The heading is Zerubbabel, the Lord's Signet Ring. The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. Tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of the foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers, horses, and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty.
Thank you, David, and to all those who have shared this morning. Thank you particularly to Chu for encouraging us with this book, The Purpose-Driven Life, or What on Earth Am I Here For? Our dog, Mikey, loves his walks. But Mikey is a pug. And pugs, well, because it's been slushy and wet, and because pugs were bred to sit on the laps of Chinese emperors, did you know that? They're not meant to get their paws wet. So, well, there's a wax you could apply, but when it's been slushy and wet, we don't take him out for a walk. We take him out for a carry. But when it's dry, he loves his walks. In fact, they're more a drag than a walk. He drags us at pace because he loves his walks outside. He loves to discover all the new smells. He loves to bark his presence to the neighborhood. He loves to leave his mark on lampposts or trees or bushes. For Mikey, the best part of his day, the moment that gives him the most refreshment, is his walk. What's the best part of your day? What's the best part of the day that gives you the most refreshment? Not family, not friends, not food, not romance, not rest. Surely the best part, the most refreshing part of our day is when we hear God speaking to us personally. When we hear God's voice speaking into our lives, that is the moment of greatest refreshment. And this morning, as we come to the end of the book of Haggai, we are hearing a personal message, a message given to Zerubbabel. It's a personal message to him, and it's a personal message to you and to me. So let's recap for a moment where we have come in this book of Haggai. Haggai has given five life-changing messages. Remember what they are. Remember, first of all, that he was sent by God to call a people who had forgotten, their call before God, who had got so caught up in their own lives. And he tells them to consider their ways. They were paneling their homes rather than focusing upon God. So he calls them to rely upon his Spirit, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says Haggai's contemporary Zechariah. Their lives are changed and they start to rebuild the temple. But then he speaks to them because some are looking back on the way the temple was before it was destroyed, before the exile. Some are trapped in their memories, their old way of thinking. And so Haggai challenges them. And through Haggai, the Lord says that the glory of this rebuilt temple will far outweigh the glory of the former temple. And then Haggai has to remind the people that it's not just all that they do, but it's about change of heart that matters. That they are to live consecrated lives, lives of holiness. And as they live lives of holiness, so God blesses them. Those four messages are vital for us as we live our Christian lives. But there's one more message, there's one more that we need to hear. It's this last one that David read to us. And it's a personal message. And in this personal message, God wants to take us to another place, if you will, in our lives. He wants to remind us of two key truths. So this morning, as you sit there, as we're listening, Lord, what are you saying in the midst of my circumstances, in the midst of my life, in what I am going through today? What are you saying to us as a church as we're about to embark upon this series together? What are you saying, Lord? Two points that God wants to make, two truths that God wants to implant in our lives. And the first is this, and it comes right there at the beginning of what he is saying there, Haggai is saying. The first is this. I, the Lord says, I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers. Horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. The first thing that God says to us personally in our day-to-day lives is God's power humiliates the world's strength. We need to hear this. God's power humiliates the world's strength. The words there of Haggai, we've heard them in other parts of the Bible before. In Exodus 15, verses 1 and 5, we read there how the chariots and the riders are overthrown in the Red Sea as Moses was called by God to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. In Judges chapter 7, verse 22, we read how the Midianites were defeated by Gideon, or by the Lord, by falling on their own swords. Today, as we look around our world, it's so tempting for us to trust in political power. It's tempting to rely upon military strength. It's tempting to put our trust in scientific progress. It's tempting to lean upon technological advance. It's tempting to rely upon financial security. But all of these are false. That's a word we need to hear today. It's what Haggai tells us. God will shake the heavens and the earth. He will overturn all those things that we rely upon. It does not matter where human power lies, whether it's in Washington, whether it's in London, whether it's in Ottawa, whether it's in Beijing, whether it's in Manila, wherever it may be found, no matter where human power is found, God's power humiliates the world's strength. And we need to hear this as we go through our daily lives, as we look at the world around us. Isaiah 40, verse 15 reminds us, surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. That's the declaration that God's power humiliates the world's strength. Daryl Johnson, who was former pastor at First Baptist Church here in Vancouver, tells this true story. It was November 1985. At the time, he was pastor of Union Church of Manila in the Philippines. Ferdinand Marcos, the president of the Philippines and a dictator propped up by the United States, had on the U.S. primetime TV show Larry King Live boasted that he was willing to hold an election to show that he had the support of the people. Mrs. Cory Aquino, the wife of Senator Benito Aquino, whom Marcos's forces had assassinated back in 1983, took up that challenge, as many here know, and ran for president against Ferdinand Marcos. At the time, things were very tense. And those of you here who were alive then would know of the tensions that were there. On that November morning, Darrell Johnson was preaching on Daniel chapter 2. It's the passage where Nebuchadnezzar has a dream of a great giant statue that represents human empires. And at the end of that dream, these empires are destroyed by a rock that Daniel describes as cut not by human hands. This is God's intervention. The rock represents God's triumphant kingdom in Jesus Christ, a kingdom that will never be defeated. And as he finished his sermon that morning, Pastor Darrell said, "Nothing will ever stop the coming and advancing of the kingdom of King Jesus. Nothing, nothing, nothing." And as he sat down at the end of that sermon, the sanctuary was completely silent. A sense of an overwhelming presence was there. What Pastor Darrell did not know at that moment was that there were two men from Washington, D.C., sitting in the congregation. One was a CIA agent, the other a so-called image maker that had been sent by Washington to help President Marcos improve his image with the Western media. Both men were due to meet President Marcos the following morning. The image maker later told Pastor Darrell that during that overwhelming silence, he felt, in his words, this presence. He began to tremble. He heard a voice. It was the voice of God. And God said to him, "All you are to do tomorrow when you meet Mr. Marcos is read Daniel chapter 2. The conviction compelled him to do nothing else. So on the Monday morning, when he and the CIA agent met with President Marcos, that is exactly what he did. He read Daniel chapter 2. He read the dream of the triumphant kingdom of Jesus Christ. And as you know, within 3 months, the People's Power Revolution had toppled President Marcos. The Lord shook the nations, overturned thrones, and shattered the power of kingdoms. God's power humiliates the world's strength." It's a personal message to you and to me, and how relevant it is in this day and age. The second truth that God says in this passage is even more important. God's purpose reveals God's Son. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 23, God says there, "I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you." The signet ring was a special ring worn by a king. It represented the king's authority. It was engraved with the royal seal, and the king would dip the ring in hot wax and then stamp a document. In the book of Esther, chapter 8, verse 10, it describes how King Xerxes sealed royal letters with his signet ring. A document stamped with the signet ring could not be revoked. So here, Zerubbabel is like the Lord's signet ring. God is saying that through Zerubbabel, his authority, his supreme authority, will be revealed. But as we journey through the scriptures, we know that it wasn't Zerubbabel who fulfilled this prophecy. These words of Haggai anticipate someone far greater. Someone who fully and truly fulfills God's purpose as his signet ring. And who is that person? The New Testament shows us that the signet ring is Jesus. We know this because Zerubbabel is named in both the genealogies of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1 and in Luke chapter 3. In fact, that becomes important because it's only in those two genealogies that Zerubbabel is mentioned at all in the New Testament. So he's highlighted there, pointing to Jesus. But we also know that the signet ring is Jesus because of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. This says that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. That phrase, exact representation, is a precise term used in the ancient world to describe the impression or the mark made by a signet ring. Jesus is the one that Haggai chapter 2, verse 23 points to. Jesus is God's signet ring. And if I will steal from Tolkien, Jesus is the real Lord of the Ring. He is the ring that is the one ring that rules over all. Jesus. So what does that mean for us? Well, thinking about that came home to me recently as I was thinking about and my parents. My parents had a plan to leave some inheritance for my sister and myself. But with their decline in health and the now possibility that they may need to go into some form of permanent residential care, that's still up for grabs, but we don't know, the savings of the capital that they had wanted to give to myself and my sister need now rightfully to be used for their care. So there may be little inheritance for myself and my sister. And that has created a little bit of insecurity, I would say. It'd be tempting to worry about the future. Maybe that's something that you struggle with too. Some level of insecurity. And what about the coronavirus? There's fear. There's uncertainty. We don't know how this is going to play out. We don't know when there will be some kind of vaccination available. Surely the coronavirus reminds us that life is fragile, that we live in a broken world, and in this broken world, life brings no guarantees. So what has God been saying to me? What might he be saying to us as we think about Jesus as the signet ring? He's reminding us that in these situations, in these circumstances, it is God's intention to conform us to be more like Jesus. We will learn as we go through this series, What on Earth Am I Here For?, that God takes our circumstances and through them makes us more like Jesus Christ. You see, if Zerubbabel was like God's signet ring, how much more are we to be like the ring? In other words, we reflect, we reveal the very purpose of God in who Jesus is in our lives. It's in us that God's purpose is to reveal Jesus. We become the stamp of God's authority to this world in how we live. Philippians 2 verse 15 reminds us that we live as children of God in a crooked and depraved generation in which we shine like stars. That's just another way of saying that we are the signet ring imprint of Jesus to the world. To the world. That's God's personal message to you and to me. We come to the cross. We come to faith in Christ. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. God transforms us to be like Jesus Christ. It's his grace that is at work in us. We never forget this. So no matter our circumstances, no matter our situations, no matter what we're going through, good or bad, God wants, God's purpose is to reveal Jesus' character in us. That's God's personal message to you and to me this morning. It's why we're going to use this purpose-driven life, or what on earth are we here for? And I pray in my own life, and I pray for all of us, that we will discover two things. First, we will discover that our purpose is to live for Jesus. In the book, Pastor Rick Warren says, God's ultimate goal for your life on earth is not comfort, but character development. He wants you to grow spiritually and become like Christ. Let's discover that purpose in our lives. But second, I pray that we will display God's grace and his truth in our relationships, our marriages, with our friends, in our families, among our neighbors, to our work colleagues, for this world. God's purpose for my life and for yours is to reveal God's Son. My dog loves to go for walks. He proudly, he resolutely sets out when it's dry. He takes us for a drag, if you will. He loves to discover all the new smells. He loves to announce his presence by barking at the neighbors. He loves to leave his mark on lampposts, fire hydrants, trees, and bushes. And I watch him as I'm being dragged along by him. I watch him as he takes to the sidewalk with a sense of excitement, a sense of wonder. What's the world got for me today, he's thinking. Where can I relieve myself this morning? Or whatever it might be. And as I watch his excitement and wonder, I hear God say to me, follow Jesus with the same excitement and wonder. Get out there. Live for Jesus. And so I pray, Lord, what a calling it is to follow you. Isn't that true in each of our lives? What a calling. What a joy. What an amazing wonder it is that we can follow Jesus. I pray, Lord, thanking him that he is the King of Kings. His power humiliates the world's strength. I have no need to fear. And I pray, saying, Lord, I thank you that you are this King of Kings, that every knee will one day bow before you. May I be at the head of the queue there first, if you will. May we be there. And then I ask, Lord, make my life like your signet ring, that I may reveal Jesus, even in the tough times, even in the hardships, even in the struggles, as well as the joys and the delights. Make me like a signet ring. Dip me in your wax. Put me on this world, that I may leave your mark. The people will see Jesus in me, in us. This is God's word personally to you and to me. He is the Lord over all. And he wants to reveal Jesus in you and in me. In a moment, we're going to sing a hymn, a way of responding, all for Jesus, all for Jesus. But as we come to this season where we will be together in small groups, I trust, reading day by day through this book and learning together, maybe you know, as I am learning, it's time to take a stand. It's time to say, that old way in which I did things, I've got to turn my back on that. Now I want to follow your purposes, Lord. And maybe you need to know that signet ring print on your life, even this morning. So I'm going to invite you, if you sense that God is saying that, if there's that awesome sense of presence, he's here, to make your way forward and say, Lord, take out your signet ring, print Jesus on my life. I want to live for you. If that's you this morning, just don't look around. Just say, I'm going to make that sign. I've got to make that sign for my own spiritual welfare. I'm going to come forward and I'm going to say, that's what I want to do. That's what I'm looking for as we move into this new season. Let's stand together and sing an amazing hymn, All for Jesus, All for